This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory. With the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Terrific service department. Backs it up every step of the way. Inspections, routine, don't forget about Quick Lane. And difficult to handle it all. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Could not be happier with my experience, could not be happier with my choice. At Sunbury Motors, they were great, and the vehicles been great. All right. We have Matt Cotrillo coming up in a few minutes. I don't know what we're going to get here. Do you?
I think we all know the Yankees are down 3-0. So I think we're getting a little bit of that.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we will.
The Eagles are playing well the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, not exactly murderer's row, but that's all right. The Eagles do excel against weaker teams. They always have. And that's not a bad thing. In other words, they beat the teams they're supposed to beat. Well, okay. Well, that's okay. Now it's what you do. Now in the other games. But they do beat the teams they're supposed to beat. That's big. That's big. Credit where credit's due for that.
That Commanders game, those Commanders games keep getting scarier and scarier as the weeks go on, though.
Well, first of all, the Commanders match up well with them. That's just the beginning. I mean, let's start with that part. Why have the Commanders been the team that consistently splits with Philadelphia? They consistently split with them because, for whatever reason, they match up well with them. I mean, that's the reason. Now, why they match up well? I haven't seen enough to know. Now, they've changed personnel. The quarterback is a handful. Talk about Daniels.
And they also seem to be living right these days.
Yeah, not every team in America has the opportunity to win a game because the defensive back is arguing with the fans.
My favorite part of that whole picture is the row of Bear fans in the front row in the end zone pointing at them to go to the play.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, but that's, again, see, it's that kind of, and I do mean this, that kind of stupidity, and it is stupid. I mean, it's stupidity. Right? Kills teams and hurts the game. Hey, Anthony Richardson, I'm tired? You're tired. You're tired. The quarterback, I'm tired. He took himself out. Tired from what? What, you think Fran Tarkenton was tired running all over the place? Archie Manning? Roger Staubach? Steve Young? Joe Montana? Terry Bradshaw? You don't think they're not tired? Now, that was embarrassing for the sport beyond words that he uttered those words. I'm tired. Well, you know, Anthony, who's tired? The single mom at 3 who just worked an overtime shift is going to get 6 hours of sleep and has to get up tomorrow morning, get the kids breakfast and get him off to school. She's tired. Not quite getting your paycheck.
Embarrassing. Wasn't the just the easier answer was I thought I tweaked my hamstring?
Of course it was.
I mean.
Right. I just wanted to check and make sure it was all right before I went back in. About all of it. Every single one of us would have accepted that answer, right? I would have. I would have accepted that. I was tired.
You prefaced it with, I'll be honest. I'm thinking to myself, this was not the time to be honest, my friend.
Okay. And guess what? No. The answer is no. You're not honest. That was. I don't know. I mean, what's next? He's going to want load management. Oh, wait. We already have a sport that does that. All right. We'll take a break. We will come back with Matt Cotrillo in a moment. You're on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
We now bring in a man who has one fewer World Series hit in his career and life than Aaron Judge. Matt Cotrillo.
Yes, Steve Jones, that is a good way to put it. And we'll start there. I've had it with the captain. I mean, it's one thing to struggle in a series, maybe two, but now, especially the way how lifeless the Yankees looked and played last night, I've had it with the captain. He needs to find a way to step it up. And the manager also needs to show some accountability toward him as well and move him out of that three spot in the lineup.
I wouldn't do that. That's the one thing you don't do at this time of the year. You don't panic. You've got a lot built around it. You're probably making Soto a more effective hitter pitching to him because Judge is behind him. I think that, you know, you've got to bring that into account. But this is not a this year thing. That's always been my issue. The problem I have with people evaluating him is they don't realize that this has been a 2020 through 2024 issue. Year after year after year after year, he gets to the postseason and he does not play well.
Well, I'd argue I think he's taking more of a step backward than the first couple of years, to be honest with you. I mean, he is literally has been, except for that one at bat in Game 3, which didn't ultimately matter anyway because they lost at Cleveland, he's been basically an automatic out. And that's why I don't want him there in that three spot. That is a good point you bring up because that is probably helping guys like Soto and Stanton. But I think maybe if you put Soto and Stanton 2-3 and you move Judge down the order a little bit, I don't know if that affects – it may affect Stanton a little bit, but I don't think it would necessarily affect Soto in the long run. But, I mean, I guess the matter is, it doesn't really matter because those are the two guys that have been hitting anyway for the Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, they've been hitting. I mean, look, everyone. Look, Stan's been a postseason disaster until this year. Okay? You know, you can mask other years by having a great year. Barry Bonds was a lousy postseason player until 2002. And 2002 is the only good year he had. Some guys are like that. Others just produce year in, year out. You know, not all of them are going to be perfect. Muncy's been a really good postseason player. This World Series, he's been okay. I mean, Tommy Edman has been terrific, but I'm not surprised. That's the way Tommy is. You know, I'm talking about somebody I at least know. Mookie Betts, I mean, that's the other part. The Yankees have flaws, as I pointed out all year. One of them is base running, but that's been negated the last two games because you actually have to have base runners to make mistakes.
Correct.
All right. And the other one is defense. You saw last night Mookie Betts, who was a superior defender. It's like Juan Soto is not a good defender, and Juan Soto doesn't run the bases well. Okay, he does a lot of things with the bat. Has a great eye, has power. You know, he's got all the things. But Soto is not a great defensive player, and Soto doesn't run the bases well. Mookie Betts does well, both extremely well. And the bonus last night for the Dodgers was Hernandez throwing out Stanton at the plate, because Hernandez is not a great defensive player. And yet, as soon as Stanton hit third, you know what exactly I said when I was sitting at home? I go, he's dead. I knew right away.
I was kind of thinking the same thing myself, but I know a lot of people are ripping the Yankees third base coach for sending him. I think at this point, you got to try to make something happen.
Oh, I'd have said
who knows if the way the Yankees have been hitting, if someone's going to get a hit behind him anyway with Rizzo coming to the plate. So I didn't necessarily have a problem with them sending him.
No. Oh, no, I didn't. I was fine with him sending him. I just knew he was dead.
Yeah, same. Absolutely.
It's like, he's not going to make it there.
And then to your point about the Yankees' defense, that's what cost them game one. It wasn't, though it was an atrocious decision, it wasn't the decision to have Nestor Cortes pitch to Freddie Freeman instead of bringing in Tim Hill, who's been one of the Yankees' best relievers in the postseason. The reason why the Yankees lost game one is because of atrocious defense, and it's just basic things, and it was from Gleyber Torres, a guy who's been making those basic mistakes the whole year, because that's what helped the Dodgers tie the game and then ultimately put the Yankees in that spot in the 10th inning, even though they got the lead back. So defense is the reason why the Yankees lost game one. And I had more faith in the Yankees to bounce back the way they did from a gut-wrenching loss, because I loved their mentality in the immediate aftermath and losing game three and the way they bounced back and then came back and won game four. But I really think game one, for whatever reason, had a huge after effect on it, and it still did. And even a raucous home crowd to start the game couldn't even snap them out of it. I thought that would last night, but it wasn't even close. And obviously, Freddie Freeman's home run didn't help either, to kind of take the crowd out of it a little bit. Because the minute that happened, I immediately thought that the Dodgers were going to win this series right off the bat. And I think tonight's just more of a formality.
Well, it's a bullpen game tonight for the Dodgers.
It is.
So who knows how that's going
to turn. I also thought the Yankees could maybe muster a couple of hits and runs against the guy who has been great in the past, but this year had a 6 ERA in the postseason, and the Yankees mustered 2 hits off of him. So what confidence do I have that they can do any more damage against the Dodgers' bullpen for a bullpen game tonight? I got to see it happen, and it starts with the captain, honestly.
You seem angry.
Just a little bit, only because it's one thing to lose to a team the way the Yankees have been when they're significantly better than you, which they are. I mean, we all said that. I thought maybe the Yankees had a little bit more magic left in them, but obviously that has not been the case whatsoever, because if they did, they'd probably find a way to win game one, and this is probably a different series. But when you play as lifeless as they did last night, from the captain all the way down, that's when I get angry, because that's unacceptable, especially to do that at home. And the first World Series home game in 15 years, that place was crazy. That's the craziest I've ever seen Yankee Stadium in a long, long time. And the fact that the Yankees players didn't feed off of that and played as lifeless as they looked last night, that to me is completely unacceptable. And that's what has me angry.
That's what good pitching does. Good pitching silences crowds. I know the Phillies crowds actually think they're intimidating. Okay, great. The Astros beat you on your field, you know, and they no-hit you. I don't think they were that intimidated by you. But it's a nice image to have.
We're intimidating.
No, you're not really. No, not with professional athletes. No, I don't think so.
Yankee fans, we're intimidating.
Not really.
It was loud, but I wouldn't call it intimidating last night.
But you are correct. The home crowds are uplifting. You know, in football, they make a difference because the crowd noise can change silent counts and things like that. Maybe crowd noise in baseball can make a difference because they're trying to hear signals now. But other than that, no offense, they're not going to charge out on the field after you. So you're really, they're just loud. Right? Which is fun, and it's great, and it's awesome for the home team. It juices you up. I don't think really good teams don't get tense by that. They're like, yeah, okay. They're used to it. I mean, Penn State plays at Camp Randall on Saturday night. Loud, raucous crowd, the whole thing. West Virginia, loud, raucous crowd, the whole thing. But Penn State's used to it. Right?
Oh, and when you're talking about in that case, yes, there's no question there. I think when it came to the Phillies World Series run a couple of years ago, I think it definitely had an effect on Atlanta, but Atlanta wasn't that great a team. Obviously, it didn't have an effect on Houston because obviously they were a great team and they beat the Phillies in that series. So I think it just kind of depends on how you handle it if you're the opponent.
Well, Arizona wasn't intimidated.
Oh, exactly. Well, they went to the World Series that year. They were hot, but I think they were also maybe a better team than what the record showed. So I think you can maybe put them in that category as well. But I think the crowd definitely affected Atlanta in that particular series. And I think really in those back-to-back postseason series, I would say it affected Atlanta. But the other ones, Arizona, Houston, even this year against the Mets, although I think this is a different story with the Mets, too, because of all the momentum they had, the same thing.
Well, a lot of teams seem to be winning in Philadelphia in the postseason. I don't think it's as bad as people think it is. These are your people.
Eh, but on the football field, I mean, the Eagles were on the road last year, but they probably would have won at home regardless because of the way things were going, but I digress.
You're just so angry lately. At least the Eagles are doing what good teams do. You go out and you beat teams that you're supposed to beat, and that's the part of the schedule they're in right now. They're beating teams they're supposed to beat.
Exactly, and I learned this from you, Steve. There's obviously winning games that you need to be winning, which you have to do. But I've been really zeroing in on the Eagles the last couple of weeks. Are they improving week to week? And I think that's my biggest takeaway. They are improving week to week, including the quarterback. And I think that's very encouraging. Now, we'll ultimately see what happens when you're playing Dallas, even though I know they're not a great team this year, but I still think it ultimately comes down to that because of just the way things are between the Eagles and the Cowboys, and obviously against Washington when they play them in a couple of weeks.
I think Washington's a bigger threat.
Oh yeah, no question. But I'm just saying in terms those are the biggest games coming up for the Eagles after Jacksonville this week. They have to take care of business against Jacksonville at home, and then we'll see where the growth really is in that two game stretch with Dallas and of course Washington.
And again, you need to beat teams you're supposed to beat. I mean, and Jacksonville's one of those teams. Washington, for whatever reason, has matched up with Philadelphia well the last couple of years. Now it's a different team with Daniels now. But they're already matching up well with them to begin with. Now let's just see that, you know, that's one of those where I think if Philadelphia splits with them this year, that's good. Sweeping them is a bonus.
I think that's what's going to happen as well.
And sweeping them is a bonus. Well, Enjoy yourself tonight. Are the kids wondering why Daddy's throwing the TV set against the wall?
No, they kind of knew what was going on, so it's okay.
I mean, it doesn't help when little John Paul's first word is losers.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Is it bad that little John Paul Cotrillo uttered his first word last night, and it was losers?
Is that bad?
I'm only asking you.
I don't know, the way they've been playing the last two nights. he's probably lucky that's the only word he learned.
He's just a little guy. He's not a year old yet.
Well, he's probably lucky he didn't learn the shorter words then.
Oh, the ones Matt's using?
Yes.
Oh, God. Imagine that. I could hear it now. Lisa going over to Matt. Honey, John Paul said his first word. Oh, what? He's losers. For sure. Yeah, this would. He was hoping Junior would say. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Anthony Richardson's tired. Did you know that?
He was so tired. I just saw that they are benching him while we were on break.
They should bench him. I'd bench him. I'd bench him in a heartbeat. See ya. You're out of here. Yeah,
I can't believe the Bears guy. There wasn't more blowback on the Bears guy.
Yeah. When you're out there on the rectangle, okay, your total and complete concentration should be on the other 21 players. You can't be distracted by fans. You can't be distracted by the sideline. You can't be distracted by coaches. You can't be distracted by TV. You are paid to not be distracted between the rectangle. Those are two things that, as a league, it happen to be absolutely embarrassing. Embarrassing to the league. Really that simple.
I can only imagine what his offensive lineman thought. I'm sure that some of those 300-pound guys would like a play or two off once in a while.
No kidding. The whole thing. I mean, if you're going to tell him you're tired, tap your helmet not to come out. But in other words, tap the helmet. Like, I need a running play here. You know what I mean? Which, ironically, they took him out and Flacco came in. What did they do? They ran the ball. Settled for a field goal where they were done. Like, what are we doing here? I mean, it is... In professional sports, somebody has to explain to me what Joel Embiid is and is not doing. Somebody has to explain to me why Joel Embiid can't play back-to-back games. Somebody has to tell me why you have players complaining about the 65-game threshold in the NBA to get awards. They want 58. 58! You're already getting 17 games off already. What are we doing here? And we keep being told they're the, quote, best-conditioned athletes in the world. Every time I turn around, somebody wants out. Really? I don't know.
I think once they, you know, obviously once salaries escalated, I think owners and were trying to figure out ways to maximize profits, I guess the best way to put it, you know, keep these guys healthy. But I think it's obviously we've gone the complete opposite way now. I mean, I still can't believe Embiid nor, and they let Embiid play in the Olympics, but he's not ready enough to go in the season yet.
I know. Over and over again.
Paul George, at least, you know, in theory, got hurt in a game and banged kneecaps with somebody and has...
Right. That happens.
Yes.
That happens. Okay.
But the Embiid thing is just strange.
It's a strange world out there, man. It's getting stranger by the day.
Oh, well. That's a whole totally different show.
It's a strange world. Man. And this isn't the old man getting, oh, this is the way it used to be when I was a kid, blah, blah, blah. No. Jeez, don't you have any professional pride? Seriously. That's what strikes me is the, like, you ache your entire life to get to this point. You know, guys badly want to be in the league. Whether it's in the NFL, the association, whatever. And then they get there and they don't want to play. Like, I don't get it. I'm baffled by that.
I wonder if the benching it doesn't have a punishment aspect to it as well.
I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I don't know enough about the Colts organization to know whether it does or doesn't. I don't know enough about Shane Steichen to know if it does or doesn't. The whole thing is just, it's bizarre. I mean, the NFL is different in that you notice at the end of blowout games, they rarely put the backup quarterback in. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
Over the years? It's really... That I always thought was strange. I mean, Brady would take, like, every snap in a season. Brian Hoyer would be carrying a clipboard. Okay. And then you get this situation. Of course he's going to be benched. I mean, you're right. I mean, you made a great point. What are the offensive linemen thinking? How can you lead when you're in the foxhole, the football foxhole, and you're the first one to you know, that's okay. I'm not gonna, you guys go first. Really? I don't know. I always talk about adapting, how important it is to adapt. This is one of those I haven't adapted to yet. Okay. Just so you know, I haven't quite come around on this one yet. I haven't quite come around yet on load management. I haven't quite come around on I need a playoff. I'm tired. You're tired? All right.
Well, was it Embiid that said that he doesn't think he'll play back-to-backs ever again?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He said that. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yep. So buy your tickets. Be careful which one games you pick. You never know. Might be the 90s not out there.
it's, you know, not to defend him, but, you know, it's probably the first adversity he's probably faced on the field, too, as well. Maybe he just doesn't know how to handle it, and maybe this is a way to teach him how to handle stuff like that.
Embiid?
No, Richardson.
Oh, Richardson. I don't know. I'd have to look back closer at his Florida career to know. I don't know. That's a good question.
I don't think they were ever good when he was there, were they?
No, and that's something I've always tried to point out. Well, they had a winning record there, right? Right. So I do point out the losing record part, because I think the losing record part does play a role. That's where I think Jared Goff's one of the few guys I can think of that has had a losing record at Cal. It's one of the few guys I can think of that was a first-round pick, had a losing record as a quarterback, and still won. I give Goff credit. I mean, you want to talk about a guy that's...
It took him a couple years, though, too.
Improved, yeah, but he's improved. He's way better now. My goodness, you watch him play, the confidence he plays with. He's good.
That's one of my favorite plays of the season, was when his ball fake was so good a couple weeks ago that the guy sacked him, but he didn't have the ball, so the guy got a roughing the passer call.
Oh, jeez. Oh, really? I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah. He faked it. He faked it. He gave the ball to the guy through the in motion and faked the pass, and the guy just absolutely buried him and was celebrating behind the line of scrimmage, and it was a personal foul because he didn't even have the ball.
That's not good.
No.
Yeah.
He thought he had a sack.
Yeah.
And then if you have any kind of soul, you turn around and I just, that sinking feeling.
Yeah. Like,
did I just dance?
That's not good. Over here in the back, it's a bad look. I'm tired. Okay.
Don't forget, I can't see you, so if you're tapping your helmet, I can't come in.
Nope, I'm all right. And there have been times where, I'll admit, I've done the show tired. Why have I done the show tired? And I'm not exerting myself in a field, but, you know, got back at 3, 4 in the morning, got to do the show. Okay, hi, I'm here. But it's a show, so you can tell everybody, yeah, I'm a little tired today. Yeah, that's fine. Everybody understands. But you're not paying anything to... You know, you didn't pay money, tickets and parking and things like that to listen to the show. And he's, you know, with him, you have. It's like, what is he doing? It's like one of those, you don't know what to say about it. I've never heard of a quarterback doing that before. Ever. Ever. Have you?
No. And if I have, it's usually because he's playing safety on defense and he's 17 years old.
Right. Like, what the heck? Hey, you see stuff like that, you're like, hey. You don't think Cal Ripken Jr. was tired? How about Jim Marshall? Jim Marshall played his first season in the NFL in Cleveland, then played the rest of his career with Minnesota. Right? He played something like 270 consecutive games as a defensive end. And in the back in the day, Jim Marshall did not come out of the game. Now, we all know Marshall was famous for the, you know, running the wrong way on the fumble thing against the 49ers. But Jim Marshall was a great defensive end. And he was out there every game, every play. You don't think Jim Marshall was tired? Jim Marshall was tired. I can assure you. You don't think players right now in the Penn State camp, getting ready for this game this week, they're not tired? No, they're tired. Everybody this time of the year is tired.
And something hurts.
Oh, and something on all these guys?
Yes.
Something hurts. Oh, no doubt about that. No doubt. On these guys, something hurts. All the time.
You brought up Jim Marshall, an example. I always think of Jim Otto. Remember as a kid watching, I forget what show it was on HBO, where they had the whole thing on Jim Otto and him getting out of bed and what it took to even move in like 10 years out of his career. Like, yeah man, I don't think you're that tired.
Nope. As I said, the whole thing is amazing. I just sit there and go, what? Let's look up. Jim Marshall here briefly. I mean, I made the statement about him. I'm pretty sure he's the all-time NFL leader in consecutive games played. Jim Marshall. American photographer. I don't think so.
I don't know why this is sticking in my head. I think he's on, like, field players. I think a punter broke his record or something dumb like that.
Okay. All right. Maybe he did. Played 20 years in the NFL, primarily the Vikings. Played at Ohio State, Saskatchewan, CFL, blah, 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 blah. Let's see. I mean, a kicker breaking it. He owns career records for most consecutive starts, 270, and most games played by a defensive player, 282. He started 270 consecutive games.
That's in a 14-game season for the most part, too, right?
Yep. Ooh. Year after year after year. Most seasons defensive player, Junior Seau, Darryl Green, Jim Marshall, 20. Most complete seasons by a defensive player, 20. He stands alone. Most consecutive games played by a defensive player, 289. Most consecutive regular season games played by a defensive player, 282. Most consecutive game starts by a defensive player, 277. Most consecutive regular season starts by a defensive player, 270. Most consecutive regular season starts played with one team, 270. Again, every play got banged around. Every play. And the quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts is tired. Oh, by the way, Jim Marshall's still alive. You know, he's 86 years old.
I bet he feels every bit of those years.
Sure he does.
280 consecutive NFL games. Oh,
yep.
My joints are hurting just thinking about it.
Played with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders in 1959. I mentioned he played for the Browns 1 year. That was true in 1960, and then played the rest of his career with the Vikings through 1979. Two-time Pro Bowler, number 70 retired. There you go.
You know you played a long time when you play through your youth and you reach my youth.
Yeah. Unreal. But the quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts is tired.
Well, he gets to start a new starting game streak soon.
Well, guess what? He's going to get a lot of rest this week. Unreal.
I kind of hope that's how Shane broke it to him. Well, you're not going to be tired this week, buddy.
Yeah, no problem. You'll get, in fact, if I were you, I'd sleep in. You're going to get plenty of rest this week. And then when you come here, you're going to run the stairs. Yeah. Well, why don't we run the stairs for a while? See how tired you are then. Right? In fact, right, our secretary has to get her kids off to school. Why don't you go over and help her? Since she's probably tired. Tired. Take a break. We're not tired. Stinking tired. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Are you tired?
I was going to say my fingers are, but my brain must be, too, because I didn't turn the mic on.
I mean, you're up working late every night.
Yeah. It's not the working late. It's the 6:30 in the morning for getting Madeline off to school.
Ah, I see. Now, no, we don't need you tired.
Oh. I just tap my helmet. The dog comes in. Does a little yard work. We're good.
Perfect. Yeah. Neil Coulong is probably tired. He watched that Steeler game last night.
He's at least an hour behind.
I will say this. It is great watching games in Central and Pacific time. Like, all right. I mean, it's 9 o'clock and the game's over? Great. Let's go to sleep.
I did a Little League World Series in Kirkland, Washington 20 years ago and was amazed to open up the newspaper and see all the West Coast baseball box scores.
Yeah. How about that? Amazing. Come to think of it, the suits always says he's tired.